We have two readings today that come from the contemporary English version. And the first one is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up on the mountain and stay here for a while. I will give you the two flat stones on which I have written the laws that my people must obey." Moses and Joshua, his assistant, got ready. Then Moses started up the mountain to meet with God. Moses had told the leaders, "Wait here until we come back. Aaron and Hur will be with you, and they can settle any arguments while we're away." When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, a cloud covered it, and the bright glory of the Lord came down and stayed there. The cloud covered the mountain for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Lord told Moses to come into the cloud. Moses did so and stayed there 40 days and nights. To the people, the Lord's glory looked like a blazing fire on top of the mountain. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the brothers James and John with him. They went up on a very high mountain where they could be alone. There, in front of the disciples, Jesus was completely changed. His face was shining like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. All at once, Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus. So Peter said to him, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, the shadow of a bright cloud passed over them. From the cloud, a voice said, "This is my dear son, and I am pleased with him. Listen to what he says." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so afraid that they fell flat on the ground. But Jesus came over and touched them. He said, "Get up and don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes, they saw only Jesus. On their way down from the mountain, Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been raised from death. The disciples asked Jesus, "Don't the teachers of the law of Moses say that Elijah must come before the Messiah does?" In this is the word of the Lord.
Does the name Nunyara mean anything to you? Several of the young people in the congregation have put their hand up. Nunyara, a Ghana word meaning place of healing. It was a sanatorium for those suffering from TB because of the climate up at Balea. And many of us went to Nunyara during the Easter time for a camp, a Christian youth camp where many of us were on the mountaintop. We experienced something of the grace of God and the love of Jesus, and perhaps there made a decision to be a follower. We have fond memories of Nunyara. It was a mountaintop experience. And I couldn't help but think about that as I started to read again the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured before them. What really went on the mountain? This description is quite strange to us. Perhaps it's unfamiliar to our experience at all. But what really went on up on the mountain? I imagine if a reporter turned up and said, "Mr. Zebedee, or if you don't mind, can I call you John? What really happened up there? I have people from the UFO Society who actually think there was something strange that maybe you could clear up for them." Or was it hallucination? Had they been on the communion wine a bit too much? Peter, James and John, three wise men. This is the end of the Epiphany season and the beginning of Lent. Epiphany was the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles. And so those three wise men that we heard about following Christmas, it was revealed to them something about the nature of God and who Jesus was. And so as we begin this journey into Lent, we have these three wise men, if you like, who experienced something on the mountaintop which lasted for them forever. They kept the faith. Whatever their faith was, they kept it. James was beheaded. John, we don't know how he died, but was exiled for his faith on Patmos. Peter was crucified upside down outside of Rome. Whatever happened up on the mountain, it strengthened their faith and their commitment to follow Jesus wherever he might lead them. I don't know what mountaintop experiences you've had, but I ask myself, what is it that made me want to follow Jesus? And in spite of perhaps advice to the contrary that some people have had when they've decided to follow Jesus, it does cost some people a tremendous amount to reject their parents' ideas and follow Jesus. My own cousin, who was a brilliant scholar at school and university, and when he announced that he wished to be a Methodist minister, his parents were distraught. They thought he was throwing his life away. And all of us have probably got stories of the cost that it does cost some people to follow Jesus. So what really went on up on the mountain? Whatever it was, they came down the mountain, changed people. And when Jesus said, "Come, let us go," they came down the mountain to a different world from the world they'd left. It's easy when we're inspired to want to stay in that area, when we're uplifted, maybe through a hymn, perhaps through a sermon, perhaps through a prayer. We feel a sense that this is great to be here. But we have to go down into the valley. We cannot stay on the mountain. Why do we want to stay on the mountain? There are people down in the valley who are hungry. There are people down in the valley who are lonely and need a hug and a word of uplift, a word of hope. There are people in the valley who are suffering from injustices. Whatever it is, it's easy to want to stay on the mountaintop and not go down to the real world in the valley. But this story, whatever it happened there and whatever it means, it meant that they came down with a different world view. They came down into the valley, to the real world, and began their ministry there. And whenever we are uplifted and on the mountaintop, Jesus calls us to go down with him into the valley of the real world. Amen.